Chapter 20. A Growing Conscience. Mid-October, James returned to work, so Peter's mum headed back to Granville. She was confident that her son would be fine on his own, and she had a lot to do in order to move house. James was feeling so much better that he even began coaching again. Nothing came before hockey. Peter wanted to keep up some regular contact with his brother, and since the Simons went out every Friday evening to visit an elderly couple, he chose that evening to spend with James. Public transport made it possible. How Peter missed his little racy black convertible. His parents' old Mazda wouldn't be anything in comparison, but he was looking forward to having a car again. James had made it very clear that he didn't want to discuss the Bible, so Peter reluctantly avoided any deep and meaningful discussions. Often the two of them would go for a brisk walk along the harbour front and then watch a DVD or play computer games with the stereo blaring in the background. It was an evening that Peter looked forward to and thoroughly enjoyed, but it was hard to refrain from speaking about the matters which were bubbling over in his heart. Peter loved his brother, and he didn't understand why the approachable, friendly, easygoing James became overheated so quickly in religious discussions. Early in November, Peter sat down with the Simons to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It was the account of King Josiah breaking down the idols in all the cities of Israel. Night after night, they read about idolatry. Because God hated the practice, the record often gave a direct comment on how each king dealt with the problem. "I don't get it," Peter said with a frown. "What was so compelling about bowing down to a piece of wood?" "If bowing down was all there was to idolatry," Craig nodded, "I'm sure it wouldn't have been so popular." He turned to his son. "Why did people want to worship idols, Alan?" "Because it was fun," the lad answered. "It was an excuse for a party. It involved feasting, dancing, and immorality. People could do all the things they wanted to and still feel that they were worshipping God." Craig took Peter to a couple of passages which show that idol worship stole people's hearts away from God. The rituals involved in idolatry were so enjoyable that people lost their desire to serve God. Turning up a passage in the New Testament, Craig asked Peter to read an astonishing verse. Colossians 3 verse 5 said, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." "You see," Craig pointed out, "it's still with us today. Covetousness is linked to idolatry." Peter wanted to find out what covetousness meant, so he quickly looked it up in the Simon's Big Concordance. Following the different related words and their meanings, he determined that it meant greediness, multiplying one's possessions, holding or desiring more. "Why, that's what our world revolves around," Peter said in astonishment. "Capitalism couldn't survive if people didn't always want more."
"So true," Craig agreed. "And you see, God wants our hearts and minds to be set on Him and the promises He's made to us, not on all the things we'd love to acquire now. The desire to have more can take over our lives. We can easily devote all our time and energy to pursuing things, whether it be houses, cars, money, pleasures, sports, friendships, recognition, you name it. Whatever robs God of our full devotion to Him has become an idol in our heart." Peter was surprised. If what Craig said was true, then perhaps idolatry wasn't simply an Old Testament phenomenon. He mulled this over for a few moments while the others continued to talk. Then a sudden thought came to him. "Is that why you don't have a TV?" he asked. "So you don't have to be bombarded with advertising." "That's a good thought," Craig nodded. "And it would be a good reason. But you see, Beth and I used to have a TV when we were first married, but as time went on, we gradually realized that we were watching other people sin and actually enjoying it. We found ourselves hoping that the hero would murder his enemy or that two people would commit fornication, and we realized that we were enjoying sin vigorously." "Have a look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to the end," Craig suggested. Turning to the passage, Peter read, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow, Peter declared, that pretty much covers everything. Passages like this were beginning to make him uncomfortable. They seemed so restrictive. Did people really deserve death for such actions?
It is very comprehensive, Craig agreed. And while there are plenty of wholesome educational programs on TV, a lot of what is most attractive to us is only glorified sin.
Craig took the time to show Peter a few other powerful passages. David had said to God, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Jesus told his disciples that gazing lustfully at a woman is committing adultery in the heart. Paul wrote that a believer isn't to be conformed to the world, but transformed by a renewal of their mind. After they read another passage from Ephesians, Craig said, It says here that it's a shame to even speak of sinful acts, so it seems to me that it must be wrong to enjoy watching them happen.
When the Bible readings were over that night and everyone headed off to their separate rooms, Peter stopped in the kitchen for a glass of water. His thoughts were churning. Night after night of these practical biblical discussions was reinvigorating a conscience that had long wasted away. Just how far did he want God's word to reach? Everything he was learning was so interesting, but was he willing to actually change his life?
Ah, I'm only investigating religion right now, he argued internally. I'm certainly not committed. I'll wait until I've got everything figured out first.
As he was leaving the kitchen, still feeling ill at ease with his own conclusions, the phone rang. Since Peter was within an arm's length of the receiver, he instinctively picked it up. However, he wished he hadn't as soon as he heard the voice on the other end. It was Jessica, and he could tell she was crying.
Are you okay? He asked in alarm.
I don't know, she sobbed. I just want to talk to my dad.
I'll get your dad for you right away, he assured her. As quickly as he could, Peter dashed down the hall with a cordless phone. He handed the receiver over to Craig. It's Jessica, he said anxiously. Then Peter left the room. He didn't want to intrude into any private family matters. However, the next evening, after they had finished the Bible readings and Alan had retired to the basement to study, Craig explained Jessica's call.
I just thought I'd let you know, Peter, he began, why Jessica was so upset last night.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to, Peter said quickly.
Well, I think I should, Craig continued soberly, as it's going to impact things around here.
It is?
Yes, Craig sighed heavily. Jessica has been telling us she wants to quit college for some time. We've been trying to encourage her to finish, as she's nearly completed a year and a half of a 3-year course. But anyhow, yesterday, someone spiked her soda.
What? Peter interrupted. You mean with drugs?
He could hardly believe it.
Craig nodded soberly. There's a group that's been giving her a hard time for a while, he informed, but this was pretty serious. She was in rough shape last night. Gave her quite a scare.
And us too, Beth added.
So, is she okay?
Yes, Beth answered cautiously. She called this morning to say she felt a lot better, but she also talked her dad into letting her quit, and I'm glad she did.
Craig smiled at his wife. Let's hope we made the right decision. It has certainly been a matter of prayer.
Peter was perplexed. Why would anyone play such a cruel prank? Was it just for amusement?
But Craig had said there was a group that had been giving Jessica a hard time.
Why? She seemed like a compassionate, quiet kind of person, not the type who would antagonize anyone.
However, Peter kept his questions to himself. He felt the Simons had already disclosed enough personal information.
Anyway, Peter, Beth went on to say, Alan happened to mention a few nights ago that you were planning a trip back to Granville over the holidays. Jessica has decided to finish off the last 2 weeks of her semester and then stay with the Hendersons until the young people's gathering. She paused.
Alan told you about that gathering, right?
Peter nodded.
Well, you're welcome to go to it, she said. If you want to, that is.
Peter smiled, but he didn't respond.
With a little hesitancy, Beth added, Craig and I were wondering if you would mind giving Jessica a ride home when you return, and maybe dropping off her friend along the way?
Her girlfriend lives just off the Trans-Canada Highway near Quebec City, Craig explained quickly. We know her parents would be happy to put you up for the night. They're good friends of ours.
It would break up the trip nicely for you, Beth added.
Sure, Peter agreed with a laugh. I'm happy to help out any way that I can.